Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We just had a great conversation with Adrian Lawson of Sips with Sarah about the beauty of the Catholic faith. And now we are going to bring it over to another particularly beautiful aspect of our faith, which is the sacrament of marriage, holy matrimony, which is, you know, it's the foundation of society, marriages. It's what facilitates God's first command to man: be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And anything that fulfills that command has to be sacred. And here to talk about that with us is who better than Dr. Gregory Popchak, founder and executive director of the Pastoral Solutions Institute. And of course, you can find him and his work at CatholicCounselors.com, along with him and his wife, Lisa Popchak. He is the author of books such as Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, and How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Dr. Gregory Popchak, thanks so much for joining us again on Catholic Answers Live.
Thrilled to be here, Thomas. Thank you.
Well, let's get right into it. So what does it mean when you say that marriage is sacred? And maybe first, like, what does sacredness mean and how does that apply to marriage?
Well, sure. Thomas Aquinas would say that sacredness, something that was sacred, was something that's set apart for God. And so the point of the idea is, of course, that marriage somehow sets us as husband and wife apart for a divine purpose, which is, of course, to learn how to love each other the way God is calling us to love. You know, I have lots of love in my heart for my wife, but I don't have the first clue how to love her the way that's actually loving. And I certainly don't know how to love her in a way that God wants me to love her, right? And so we come to church to say that I believe this is the place that can teach me how to love her the way God wants me to, or how to love me the way God wants her to love me. And so we spend the rest of our lives really apprenticing to that Catholic vision of love. In fact, that's why Catholic couples don't get to write their own vows, because we're not inventing what marriage means to us and then deciding how to let God participate in our relationship. We're saying, you know, we give up our right to define what we think marriage should be, and to be here to spend the rest of our lives apprenticing to this Catholic vision of love, because we believe that this is the place to come to learn how to love each other the way God wants us to. And so that's how we're setting apart our love for a greater divine purpose. But where people get, you know, confused, we hear that marriage is sacred all the time. But people tend to think that marriage is sacred almost like what it is. Like, so, you know, like it's like the sacred, the holy knick-knack of Antioch or something, you know, that we have to tiptoe around it somehow and be very careful with it, and don't touch it because we might break it. Marriage is sacred not just for what it is, but for what it does. Right. So marriage is instituted to heal the damage that sin does to our ability to love another person the way God wants us to, especially with our bodies. It's really the sacrament committed to healing sex. Right. Because just like, you know, say that the bread and wine is the stuff of the Eucharist, of the sacrament of the communion, sexual intimacy is the stuff of the sacrament of marriage. If a couple can't consummate their marriage, they're not actually married. And so marriage is that sacrament of sexuality that God instituted to heal the damage that sin has done to our ability to love each other, with our bodies especially, but in general. And so we have to do the work that the sacrament asks us to do in order for it to be holy. It's meant to help heal those sinful wounds to our capacity for love. And so I talk to a lot of couples who in the counseling practice who will talk about, you know, okay, here's a healthier way to handle conflict, or here's a healthier way to, you know, be respectful to each other, or here's a healthier way or holier way to approach this problem or that. And they're afraid because they say, well, if I do that, my spouse might get angry at me, or my spouse might even threaten to leave, right? So I can't do that holy work of marriage, because if I do what the sacrament asks me to do, I won't be able to preserve the sacrament. which is kind of crazy when you think about it. But we have this idea, because we think of marriage as this sort of holy knickknack that's just set up in the middle of the room, and we have to protect it and, you know, put lights on it and alarms around it. We're afraid to use it for what the job it's asked us to do. And the metaphor I like to use, you know, imagine for a minute if a pastor said, you know, the people in my parish are threatening to leave because they don't like the taste of bread and wine. They want me to use Oreo cookies and orange juice. And so what do I do? Like, because if I don't consecrate Oreo cookies and orange juice, they're all going to leave. And then I violate the sacredness of the Mass. Well, he can't do that, right? Because that would be a desecration to the sacrament of the Eucharist. Well, but if I do this the right way, then people might leave. Well, then they might leave. But that's got to be their choice. We have to offer them what the sacrament actually asks them to do. And in the same way, we can't preserve the sacrament of marriage by failing to do the holy work that marriage calls us to do, which is to challenge each other to grow in health and holiness so that we can learn how to love each other the way God wants us to.
888-318-7884 is the number to call. And I did not give that out at the beginning, but this is some great stuff that Dr. Gregory Popchak is dumping on us right now. So if you want to get in on the conversation and talk to him, call 888-318-7884. My name is Thomas Graff, by the way. I'm the fill-in host for this hour for Cy Kellett, taking a break from social media duties. And I want to pull on that example you just gave, that analogy mm-hmm. you just gave. So what is an example of something in marriage that someone might want to do that is analogous to the pastor being asked to consecrate something besides bread and wine? Like how do couples find themselves in situations like that?
Certainly the most dramatic example would be, you know, some kind of abuse, whether that's physical abuse or emotional abuse, verbal abuse. But it comes down, you know, there's this sort of idea that I talk to a lot of couples where one spouse, and to be fair, it's often the man, not always, but it's often the man, who is not interested in Jesus Christ being the Lord of their marriage, but he wants to be the Lord of the marriage, right? It's I want to be how I am. And you knew what I was when you married me. And so now you just have to deal with it, right? Where the proper attitude to dispose ourselves to marriage is, I don't know what I'm doing, right? I have no idea how to love you the way God wants me to. So I'm going to spend the rest of my life learning, right? And so there's going to be some tension. We're going to have to, you know, figure that out. But we're willing to learn from each other because, you know, St. John Paul talked about mutual submission in marriage, that Christ is the head of the home and that we submit to each other. And in that, we could talk more about that whole question of headship later on because it does fit into that. I'm not denying that. But it's more of this, we're learning from each other. But where one spouse basically says, you know, I don't really care about changing. I am what I am. And you have to respect that. And in fact, we have to build our whole family life around my craziness because that's what I need you to do. And then you, as the faithful Catholic spouse, feel like you have to do that to preserve the sacredness of the marriage, right? Well, no, because the preserving the sacredness of the marriage means putting Jesus Christ on the throne of our home, not your craziness. And too often we will put somebody's, you know, mishigas, their stuff mm-hmm. on and make them the part-time pagan deity of our household, and the whole family has to worship them because they'll leave if they don't, or they'll be mad if we don't. And we end up desecrating the marriage by not doing the sacred work that marriage asks us to do.
That is a great point. And it's impossible for me not to immediately think that isn't that what we all do in the spiritual life? Isn't that kind of how we treat Christ sometimes? He is our spouse, right? He's the spouse of the church. And we mm-hmm. and so often we enter, it's even possible for us believers, right? We want to enter into this relationship with Jesus, but only on our terms. I want to do it my way, right? I don't want you to change mm-hmm. me at all. That's painful. That's not fun. I'm going to love you exactly the way I want to. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't accommodate that. He will let us worship something else and let that totally ruin our lives if that's what's necessary to get us to stop doing that and come back to him and actually be transformed the way he wants us to be, right? And it's the same thing in marriage.
Well, and he also loves us enough to let us go if we choose not to love him, right? I mean, I make the point a lot of times, you know, that I certainly never encourage couples that I'm counseling to divorce. That's not what we're about, right? But I also have to come against the idea in marriage that you alone can make the marriage work, because even Jesus can't make the relationship with us work on his own, right? He suffered and died and rose again to open the door to heaven and let us enjoy eternal life with him, but we still got to walk through the door. He doesn't drag us kicking and screaming. You know, he loves us enough to let us choose whether to be in relationship with him or not. He can just point the way. And so when we work with couples, our goal is to say, well, you know, let's discern together what the healthiest and holiest approach to this problem might be. And then let's open the door for both of you to walk through so that you can have a healthier and holier relationship. But you can't force each other to do that. You can only continue to invite each other to do that work. Look, sometimes there's tension because, again, we all love our comfort zones more than we love each other, right? That's the number one problem in marriage. We really, all of us love each other, our own comfort zones more than we love our spouse. Absolutely. Or anybody else for that matter. But nine times out of 10, if there's any goodness in your spouse's heart, if there's any grace there at all, they'll be dragged kicking and screaming to a better place because they see, in spite of themselves, that this is the better way, right? But there are some people who are just so opposed to the idea that they need to grow or that they need to change or that they need grace or they need healing, that they absolutely refuse to come along and for that invitation. And if that's the case, you're not threatening the sacredness of your marriage. You're doing what the marriage asks you to do by inviting your spouse to grow in holiness and health, and it's their choice to come along with you or not.
It's fascinating how this is just, this conversation with you, Dr. Gray, after just 10 minutes, it's opening up so many more layers to the nuptial imagery in Scripture of the relationship between God and man, because I've only been married a couple years right now, and I'm experiencing in myself a lot of some of those flaws that you're mentioning right now, and it's impossible not to see, as we said earlier, how that exact same dynamic plays out both between myself and God and also constantly in salvation history. It plays out all the time. That brings us to our first break.
Absolutely.
We do have, sorry about that. We do have one caller on the line, and we would love to have more. So if you want to jump in on this conversation, talk about the sanctity of marriage, call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We will be right back to talk more with Dr. Gregory Potchak right after this.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I am back to church, receiving communion, studying Bible in a year. Another sister-in-law told me about EWTN station. I listen to it constantly, and my life is so happy.
I've been a fan of EWTN on TV for a long time, and I never tuned into the radio station until last week, so I'm just really pleased.
For me, I started learning about the Eucharistic miracles through EWTN.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking with Dr. Greg Popchak of CatholicCounselors.com about the sanctity of marriage. CatholicCounselors.com, if you don't know, it's a service that offers Catholic pastoral counseling, committed to helping the faithful employ spiritual and research-based insights to resolve personal, emotional, spiritual, and relationship problems in an authentically Catholic way, a way that you know lines up with the truths of the faith. Dr. Greg and his army, this team of pastoral counselors I'm seeing on their website right now, he was just telling me they have over 30,000 different sessions a year with plenty of couples and individuals who want this counseling that they need, but in an authentically Catholic way. So check out CatholicCounselors.com if that sounds like something that you would like to make use of. We do have a caller, John, calling from the Portland area in Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio. John, go ahead with your question for Dr. Greg. You're on the air.
Thank you, guys. First off, I was baptized Catholic, but didn't grow up and didn't come into the Catholic faith until about 4 or 5 years ago in my late 40s. I did come to my salvation in the Protestant side of things, Baptist, all that. But in that time period, never did I know when I was married anything about the sacraments, you know, in that Protestant side of things. So me coming into this and then me going through that process when I came into the faith to have my first marriage annulled, you know, I'm in a place now after 11 longer than that years of being single and then coming into the faith and all that into the Catholic faith after hiking the Pacific Crest Trail and fasting and all that. And now I'm blessed with to be engaged with a Catholic woman who has that was married in the Catholic Church, but had has it annulled also. So my question is, how do you help the children involved? These are primarily all adult children on the Protestant mm-hmm. and the Catholic side, to just sit there and not think like up in their head, like a legalism way of things, but being conscious, mm-hmm. but also sitting there trying to see where the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to go charismatic, but to see where the mystery of all this is going to happen. That's my question.
Can I ask before you go, is there, do they have any particular questions that you'd like me to try to respond to, or just want me to speak to this sort of in general?
Just in general, how can okay. you approach children nowadays, young adults, you know, because yeah. here's the mystery mm-hmm. of it. Is I actually, after out of the blue, reconnecting with my middle son, who's staying away, you know, from any organized religion, you know, that thing. And then all of a sudden, mm-hmm. my former families that I was married into, they have a series of divorces. So my nephew, who I've never seen, has contacted him and is saying, hey, I want to figure out why was there all these divorces when we were all growing up? So literally my son is mm-hmm. saying, hey, Dad, I think you need to meet with your nephew. And he's a young mm-hmm. Protestant, you know, in his 20s, just got married, going, what are we doing? I don't want to get divorced. Okay. So I guess that's what I'm kind
sure.
of, I guess I'm leaning in the mystery of the sacrament. Can I say
okay.
that?
Yeah. So, all right. And I actually talk about this in my book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, where the very first chapter, I talk about different types of marriage-like relationships and how they compare to the Catholic vision of marriage. But so the short version here, though, is, you know, how do I explain, you know, what an annulment is to my, you know, adult non-Catholic kids? So when we get married in the church, we're making a different set of promises. Marriage is all about the promises that we make, right? And so the idea being for you being baptized as a Catholic, even though you weren't raised in the faith, the presumption is that, you know, when you're baptized in the church, even as an infant, there's a founded hope, is the kind of the canon law language, that you're going to be raised as a Christian. So the presumption is that, you know, you would be a Christian disciple your whole life, and then therefore want to enter into the sacrament of marriage, which is all about discipleship and learning how to live out this Catholic vision of love. And so because you didn't get married in that context, then the church would say that the marriage wasn't valid. What that means, though, is not that the relationship that you had wasn't significant or meaningful in some way. It certainly does not mean that the children are illegitimate. That's a legal and term that has to do with inheritance law, that has nothing to do with the church. What it means is that the church asks Catholics to make certain promises to each other in order for that marriage to be valid. And so those promises, you know, go beyond just sharing our stuff and paying our taxes together, right? It's we're promising to be each other's best hope for becoming everything God created each of us to be in this life and getting to heaven in the next. And if we don't make those promises, then you can say, well, we have some kind of a relationship, but it's not marriage as the church defines it. And so an annulment says that either the couple wasn't entering into marriage as the church defined it, or was incapable of doing what the church asks them to do in marriage. And specifically, that is, you know, to be each other's best hope of becoming everything God created you to be in this life and get to heaven in the next. You know, second, and to be the biggest influence in each other's lives, second only to the saving power of Jesus Christ. And that's really what Catholic marriage is all about. Right. And so to get the annulment is to say, you know, either the couple was not really promising this or was not aware that they were promising that, or that they weren't capable of promising that. But it doesn't mean that the relationship that you had with your ex-wife was meaningless or insignificant or unimportant or emotionally, you know, unimportant, or, like I said, other the kids were illegitimate. It just means that, you know, you're, when you get married in the church, you're promising a set of promises that other couples don't make outside of the church.
Thank you so much for that question, John. Thank you for kicking us off with the callers with Dr. Gregory Popchak. Hope that was helpful to you. Lots of callers on the line now. One line open, 888-318-7884 is the number to call if you want to talk with Dr. Greg about the sanctity of marriage. And next up, we have Charlene calling from Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Charlene, you are on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So my husband is, I'm Catholic, cradle Catholic, and my husband is Lutheran, but mostly just nominally Lutheran, that doesn't really practice as much. But he's very controlling in the household. Things had to be a certain way and very ordered. And he used to just say, like, you needed things a certain way and that I needed to adapt to that. And I was willing to certainly accommodate as much as I could. But things, certainly, if I had left anything out or he didn't like the way I kept the house and we were both working, he would get very angry with me. And eventually our marriage kind of dissolved, that we had very little intimacy. Sometimes it would be about a month or more between times that we'd be intimate together. And about 3 years into our marriage, we did get pregnant. And he had said that he had wanted kids originally, but after we got pregnant, I found out that he had originally planned to divorce me, but didn't because I got pregnant. So things did get worse after my son was born. And I did file for divorce because he was getting me very, very angry all the time. But he begged me to stay. And since then, he moved into our guest room. And then about 3 years ago, he was offered a training program. And so he moved away to pursue that training program. We did do some counseling remotely. But whenever it came up to, like, his attitude towards control, things changed in the counseling session, and eventually we just felt like we were getting nowhere. Everyone in my family...
Can I ask you, when you say we felt like we were getting nowhere, when you said we felt like we were getting nowhere, I feel like what you really mean is he objected to the counselor saying that he shouldn't exercise that much control, and so he started to object to going to sessions, and you didn't feel there was any reason to continue if he was upset. Is that a fair guess?
Yeah, and we were both remote at that point too, so I really needed his being there to be able to do it. So yeah, eventually it just kind of stopped. We completed the number of sessions that we had and then didn't pursue doing any additional ones.
Okay. No, I just want to understand kind of how that went on. But yeah. No, you're good. Go on. So what's your question for us? How can I help you today?
So I guess my question is, I've been discerning over the last several years, and I feel like I've come to peace that this is what I have, and that I pray for him. I take care of our son, and we talk to him, and we call him, and we try to get together and do things as a family, so at least for the sake of my son. But when we're ever alone, it's very strained.
And how old is your son?
And he's 5 now.
Okay, he's 5. And last question: were you guys married in the church, or where were you married?
So we had planned to. We did all the pre-Cana stuff, but we had a destination wedding, and then we never did the convalidation in the church.
Okay. All right. And so you're just to clarify, you're asking then, kind of in your process of discernment, what do you do next? Is that what I'm hearing you say, or what do you, or something else?
Yeah, I guess I feel like I've just kind of taken this as this is this thing that I just need to deal with, that God has given me this to be strong for my
okay.
son.
So let's talk about that. All right, so
I'm foolish.
Well, and I wouldn't say that you're foolish. I think that you have a beautiful heart, and I think that you're trying to do what you believe is right, and you're trying to do what you believe is God's will for you. And I think that that's a beautiful and powerful thing. But I want to throw out a couple of things here. So the question isn't so much, what do you want, or what I forget how you put it exactly, but basically, you know, what was this was my lot, right? This is what I have, right? The question isn't so much what do you have. The question is really what does God want for you, right? And so that's what has to be discerned. So number one, he would want you to be in a valid marriage. He would want you to be with a man who together. You were promising, as I was talking about before, to John, our previous caller, to be in a relationship with somebody who is committed to helping you get to heaven in the next life and become everything God's calling you to be in this. I guess we'll talk more about this after the break.
Yes, I'm sorry, Charlene. We do have to go to this break. We cannot skip it, but we will just hang right on through this break, and Dr. Greg will continue giving the rest of his answer when we get back. This is Catholic Answers Live. You can call 888-318-7884 to get in on the conversation. We'll be right back.
Was Jesus? It's the most important question in the world. Was he a great teacher? A religious myth? The Messiah and Lord? In Evidence for Christ, apologist Jimmy Akin builds a powerful step-by-step case from history, scripture, and reason, showing that Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy and the risen Lord. Get your copy of Jimmy Akin's Evidence for Christ today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Feeling stuck? Feeling like you are not sure what's next? Well, you can be sure of this. God is not finished with you yet. In his new book, Not Finished Yet, Dr. Marcus Peters shares a powerful message of hope, healing, and transformation in Jesus Christ. Read it to discover how to overcome struggles, embrace grace, and step into the life God is calling you to. Get Not Finished Yet today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
From the dawn of creation, angels have stood in the presence of God as messengers, warriors, and guardians. Some seek our fall, some intercede for our salvation, and one is assigned to protect you. In the new book, Angelic Answers, Father Mike Driscoll uncovers the truth about angels and their unseen battles. So mysterious to us, and yet so close. Get Angelic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Why do we baptize? Does it really do anything? In Baptism Now Saves You, Dr. Carla Broussard explains the unbreakable relationship between baptism and salvation, making sense of the church's teaching in a way that's easy to understand and ready to share. St. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Discover what that means today. Order your copy of Baptism Now Saves You at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We are talking with Dr. Gregory Popchak of CatholicCounselors.com about the sanctity of marriage, and we had to leave off for that heartbreak, Dr. Greg's answer to Charlene, calling from Texas, who is in a very difficult position with both her marriage and raising her her young son. So go ahead with the rest of your answer for her, Dr. Greg.
So just to summarize for folks who are just coming back, so Charlene is married to a man who's nominally Lutheran, very controlling. They're not living together at this point. He's gone on to a training program in another area and has been living apart. They've been living apart for quite some time. And so she is with her five-year-old son and really just struggling to know what to do next. And you know, Charlene, you were saying that you're trying trying to reconcile that this is what God's given you or this is what you have. And I think the question is, you know, what does God want for you? So number one, God would want you to be in a relationship as a Catholic woman with a man who was willing to make those promises to you to help you become everything you were created to be in this life and get to heaven in the next. And so number one, it's important to recognize that you know, again, doesn't mean the relationship isn't meaningful or significant in some way, but it's not a valid Catholic marriage. You guys weren't married in the church, and you are a baptized Catholic. And so this is not a marriage that the church would recognize as a valid marriage because you guys did not make the promises to each other that the church asks couples to make to each other. So that number one, you know, when you're trying to discern this, you have to recognize the nature of the relationship. Is he willing to work with you to heal this marriage enough to make it make sense, to convalidate it? But secondly, you know, when you talked about counseling and I asked you why you guys stopped and I suggested a scenario and you agreed with me, you know, I could almost guarantee that marriage counseling wouldn't work based on what you were describing because he's got no motivation to make it work. You know, he wants to, as I was talking about earlier with Thomas, you know, he wants to be the Lord of your home. He set himself up as the part-time pagan deity in your household, and you're supposed to worship him and accommodate to his demands and accommodate to his requests. That basically, he's setting himself up as an idol in your home. And so that's also something that God would not want, for you to follow your husband's will over God's will. And when I say that, what I mean is, you know, God is calling you to be a strong, beautiful, beloved daughter of God. And anything that's stopping you from doing that is not from God. It's a desecration of what marriage is meant to be. And again, I'm not suggesting that means you leave. What it means is that you have to claim that identity and start working for that identity and see what happens. So if I were counseling you, and I would invite you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com if you're interested in learning more about how we work with situations like this, I would say that your job is to continue to grow, to be that healthy, prophetic, godly woman in your home, to be that godly mom to your son, and to continue to challenge your husband to grow in health and holiness and see what happens, to hold the door open to a healthier relationship, just like Jesus holds the door open for us to a relationship with him. But if your husband chooses not to walk through that door, or in fact runs further away from you, the more grace you bring into the relationship, that's your answer. That shows you what God's will is for this relationship. And there's more that I could say about this if we had more time, but I would really encourage you to check out For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, as a way of getting a sense of what you have a right to expect as a Catholic woman of marriage and what you have a right to call your husband to. And instead of sort of settling and feel like, well, this is my lot, it's not. You know, redemptive suffering is suffering that we endure as part of growing. Right. You know, if I challenge you, Charlene, if I say, gosh, you know, Charlene, that really hurt my feelings when you did that, and we need to fix this, you might get mad at me and there might be suffering involved in that. But it's redemptive suffering, right? Because it's challenging me to be courageous. It's challenging you to be better. It's challenging us to grow. That suffering is redemptive. If I don't challenge you, you've hurt me and I don't say anything, I'm going to still suffer, but that's codependent suffering. That's suffering that tears us apart and actually makes the relationship worse than it needs to be. So suffering isn't always holy. It depends on what the point of that suffering is and what the effect or fruit of that suffering is. And so I would suggest to you that a lot of the suffering you're enduring is not godly or redemptive suffering. It's codependent suffering, and it's grinding you down, and it's making you less than what God wants you to be. That's not to say that the marriage couldn't be saved, but it is to say that the marriage as it is, there's nothing about it that reflects the Catholic vision of love for you. And I really hope that you'd reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com if you're interested in anything that I'm saying, because I think we could do a lot of good for you and for this relationship as well.
Yeah, Charlene, thank you for that call, and God bless you. And we will ask all our listeners who are, you know, who heard your call right now to pray for you and for your marriage and for your son. That sounds like such a devastating situation to be in, and to hear you talk about it and fight through tears on air, that just tells me that this is everything you're experiencing right now, that you're feeling, is coming from a place of true love that is just being broken right now. So God bless you, Charlene. Please, everyone listening, pray for her and her marriage, and please do reach out to Dr. Greg and his team at CatholicCounselors.com. I think they will be able to help you greatly. Let's move on now to Simon calling from Nebraska City, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Simon, you are on the air with Dr. Greg. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question, to say it simply, is kind of, first I have a friend who just recently, I guess last summer, went through a divorce, and his parents got divorced, and we're both in high school together. And up until that point, we were going to the chapel very frequently together and in prayer together, and just had a lot more free time and everything. Anyway, so I just felt that as friends, we were really growing in a great relationship and bringing each other closer to God. And then obviously one night he comes and tells me that his parents are getting divorced. And ever since that point, it's been different. And he's become kind of a workaholic. And we don't, talk as much as we did, spiritually at least, deeper level conversations, and really never go to the chapel with each other anymore. And I don't want to sound like I'm better than him at going to the chapel, but I don't go as much as I did this summer, but I ask him so often to go with me.
You're good.
He just so often denies and says he has homework when it's, obviously he doesn't. He doesn't seem to want to open up anymore. And my question really is just, how can I be the Catholic friend, the spiritual friend that I'm called to be, and how can I help him with, the healing? Because I just know that there's definitely damage to his heart, or
sure,
with his father not being around anymore. And so I just don't know how to. I know I can pray for him.
But there are two things. I think there are two things you can do. So the first thing, and you're clearly a good friend, cares about this guy very much, and I think that's beautiful to have a friend like that. He's hurting. His parents divorced, and he's angry at them. He's probably angry at God. He's confused. When a lot of times parents think, if they wait until their kids become adults, then they get divorced, then the kids will be fine. But it can be just as traumatizing, because for that adult child, everything they thought was true, everything they thought about relationship, is now ripped out from underneath them. And just as they're starting to look into their own relationships and building their own marriage and family lives, their whole script for what a healthy marriage and family life should look like was just torn up and thrown in the fireplace. And so it's really very traumatizing for adult children as well. So you recognize that he's in a lot of pain. And I think it's okay to say to him, look, I don't really pretend to know what you're going through, but I know this is more than just you have homework. I've noticed you really kind of pulling away from God and from me ever since your folks got divorced. And, I want to give you your space. I don't want to push in where I'm not welcome, and I don't want to, I want to respect where you're at. But I just want you to know that I'm here. And when I go to chapel, I pray for you. If you're angry at God, or if you're, frustrated with life and you just want somebody to talk to, pray with, I really am here for you. And you open the door. Like I was saying earlier, you can't force somebody to walk through the door, but you can open it. And you can say, look, I am here for you, and here's how I want to be here for you. And, I think I have some sense of what's going on, but I'd really love for you to tell me in your own words what's happening. And whenever you're ready to open up, if you are ever ready to open up, I'm here. And he might not say anything at first, but you continue to pray for him, and you continue to let him know that you're praying for him. And when you see him, you kind of just repeat what I just shared with you again, just to keep letting him know that the door's open and he can trust you to talk to you about these things. And then you see where it goes. As a counselor, I'm all about wanting to heal people, right? But I've learned over the years that I can offer tools, I can offer insight, I can offer support, and I can offer people the space to heal, but ultimately they have to take it, and they have to do the work. And so, there are times, lots of times, where somebody will say that they don't really want what I have to offer them, and that can be difficult, but you have to love them enough to let them make that choice, just like Jesus loves us enough to let us make that choice when we want to walk away from all the grace that he wants to offer us. But, right now I think your friend is really hurting, and he's angry at God, he's confused about life, but if you let him know that you're there for him, and that there's a way forward if he would like to have a relationship with you and like to have somebody to pray through this stuff with, I think that's the best that you could do at that point, in addition to continuing to pray for him. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you for that call, Simon. Great. Excuse me. Thank you for that call. Great to hear from you, and I hope that answer was helpful to you. My name is Thomas Graff. I'm the social media manager filling in for Cy Kellett today, and our guest is Dr. Gregory Popchak of CatholicCounselors.com, talking with us about all things pertaining to marriage and the sanctity of marriage. We do have to go to our last break right now, but there are four lines open. So if you want to get your question in on our last segment coming up, call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884 to ask your questions about marriage to Dr. Greg Popchak. We will be right back after this.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You know, I have never seen women who want to be equal absolutely degrading themselves. And yet the media degrades your nature, your beauty as a woman, your goodness. Let us pray. At some point, our dear Lord touches their hearts.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We are having a great conversation here with Dr. Gregory Popchak of CatholicCounselors.com. He is certified as both a pastoral counselor and a pastoral counseling trainer by the Association of Clinical Pastoral Education. And he's the author of books such as For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, and How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And we are having some great calls right now with folks who want to ask Dr. Greg, plumb the depths of his wisdom and experience with other couples in situations like them. All sorts of questions about marriage. So Lindsay is calling from South Carolina, listening on 91.1 FM. Lindsay, you are on the air with Dr. Greg. Go ahead with your question.
I want to say first that I have been really blessed by your book, Parenting with Grace. It's just been wonderful for me to read. I want my husband to read it with me, but he's a little bit busy. And that brings me to my question. How can I, as a wife, approach my husband about being, he knows I'm overwhelmed a lot of days just with our kids and trying to figure out parenting.
Can I ask you just so I have a sense of the context here, when you go to your husband and you talk to him about anything, how does he tend to respond? Is he generally speaking fairly receptive to your concerns, but you just don't like to ask him for help? Or is it more that he kind of, you know, he kind of gives you a lot of explanations for why he can't be there for you?
He is very receptive, but he's also trying to figure out a bunch of things himself, mental health wise and schedule wise and everything. And
okay.
I'm wondering how I can approach him about asking him to do, you know, give up so much, but then also ask him to grow with me in chastity and postpone a pregnancy, a potential pregnancy in the future.
Mm-hmm.
We've been married 9 years.
So you're talking about using natural family planning is what you're saying. How can you talk to him about using natural family planning?
We do talk about
it. Is that what
you actually bought me the book, and we know like the rules and those kinds of things, how to follow it and everything.
Well, what I'm hearing you say is that you feel guilty asking him to abstain, and that he says, I'm reading between the lines here, so correct me if I'm wrong. And he says that you know, that the frustration that he feels by abstaining is too much for him to handle with his mental health issues. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
It's not because of mental health. He's just throughout his own struggles. Like, I feel he's not making me feel bad. That's never his intention. And he's very clear about that. But I still feel bad, you know, denying him whenever I know.
Right. Okay. Well. Look. So. Let's talk through this. First of all, just you mentioned in passing that you want him to read the book, but Parenting with Grace, but he's busy. It is now available on Audible. Both Parenting with Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace is now both available on Audible to listen to. So check that out. But to come to your specific question, this is a good example, okay, of what the sacredness of marriage does. It challenges us to grow, right? This is a perfect example where, you know, you're really looking at your family situation and you're saying, I really feel like I'm maxed out and I can't be the mom and the wife that I need to be to the children that we have, much less having another child right now. And so I would really like to go to my husband and say, I think we have a reason to postpone the next pregnancy and abstain during the fertile time of the month. But I'm afraid to ask him that for whatever reason, you know, not because he's mean or whatever, but just because I feel uncomfortable with that. And I feel uncomfortable asking him to abstain during that time. But I think number one, I really would encourage you both to be praying about this and be praying together every day. So this is something that a lot of Catholic couples in general don't do. I want you to wake up every morning and I want you to roll toward each other. And I want you to say, Lord, teach us to be the couple that you want us to be, and really help, you know, for him to say, help me be the husband that Charlene needs me to be. And, you know, for you to say, Charlene, help me be the wife that my husband needs me, and help us to figure out what it means for us to have the family that you're calling us to have. Right. Because sometimes learning how to love the way God wants us to love each other is hard. You know, it's and with natural family planning, it's very much like fasting from food, right? We fast from food because we need to discipline those appetites and recognize what we really are hungering for. The same thing is true in our sexual life, that sometimes we need to take some time, as St. Paul talks about, for spiritual reasons, to really reflect, am I really being as loving as I need to be, or are we just throwing sex at this issue? Are we just kind of using sex as a way of making us feel connected to each other, but we're not really working on the quality of our family relationships, or the way we're taking care of each other, or the way we're really attending to each other, you know, so that you don't feel like, you don't have to feel like you're overwhelmed and burned out and lonely in your relationship, or frustrated because you don't get the support that you're looking for. You know, so that's what NFP is really intended to do, to help couples step back from that physical part of the relationship to really prayerfully look at the rest of the relationship and say, are we really showing up for each other the way that God wants us to in every part of our lives, right? And if, you know, and are we creating the kind of relationship and the kind of family where we've just got so much love going on that it makes sense for us to now add another member to that family because the love that's there? Or is God saying, you know what, I really want you to work on the family that you've got already so that you can have the kind of love that it makes sense to add another member to? But that's what the whole process is really all about. And when you say, I'm afraid to ask my husband to do that, what you're saying is, I'm afraid to do the work that marriage is asking me to do. So I would say to you, be not afraid, right? Even if tension comes from that, even if difficulties come from that, even if there's some arguments and some back and forth, that's holy work. That's each of you really working through the things that are stopping you from loving each other and even the family that you have the way God is calling you to, so that you can grow in a balanced and healthy way and really build the kind of marriage and family life that God is calling you to build. So I would really don't feel bad about asking your husband to do this work, because that is what the work of marriage is. It's healing the damage that sin does to our ability to love each other the way he wants us to, especially with our bodies. So you can learn more about this in our book, Holy Sex. But also, if you'd like to get some support with this and walking through this, CatholicCounselors.com, I hope you reach out to us. But I really think that call that you're feeling in your heart is from the Holy Spirit. And I would love for the two of you to root the rest of this conversation in prayer as you continue to talk about how to move forward.
Thank you so much for that call, Lindsay. I really hope that was helpful. We are talking with Dr. Greg Popchak of CatholicCounselors.com. My name is Thomas Graff. I am the social media manager filling in for Cy Kellett today. And our next caller comes from Indiana. Kay is listening to us from Indiana and has a question for Dr. Greg. You're on the air, Kay. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just going to give you the brief synopsis. My husband and I have been separated for several years. We did get married in the Catholic Church, He's an extremely hard worker and provides well for the kids and I, which the kids are now grown, and he's always worked extremely hard and didn't want to. We had gone to numerous counselors at the time, but they weren't very good counselors, unfortunately. Looking back now, I see a lot of things that they did incorrectly. To get to the point, he's recently retired, and I kind of said, you know, this is it. We got to get this figured out. This has been going on way too long, to get some marriage counseling. And so he did go, and I actually told him that he needs to get counseling first because he's been very depressed. He's even had like a suicide attempt at one point several years ago. And he kind of goes up and down with that. He comes to birthdays and holidays and he's extremely nice and cordial and all that, but he doesn't want to work on the marriage. So the counselors have kind of been advising him that you have a lot of childhood trauma, they're telling him, and until you get worked through that, you can't really address the marriage, or you're just going to morph into whoever your wife wants you to be, because you morph into whatever everyone wants you to be. So that's just my biggest question, is trauma in a separate category, so to speak. I mean, I pray for him and everything else, but I just don't want to be the proverbial.
So how can I help you? Like, what's your specific question? Like, how hard should you push him to do marriage counseling at this point, or what are you asking?
Yeah, because I don't know if the trauma has to be worked through first. He saw two different counselors.
Well, yeah. So
retired.
Sure. So. No. So here's why I'd say that. All right. So, I mean, sometimes that can be true. So I don't mean to say it in a kind of a blanket way, but trauma, right, is the result of being in an unhealthy relationship, and healing comes from being in a healthy relationship or learning how to be in a healthy relationship. Now, sometimes a person can be wounded, so wounded that they need to go to some individual counseling first to get some tools. So that they can kind of regulate themselves a little bit better. Because if I'm so dysregulated, I can't be around another person without, just kind of falling apart, then obviously I'm not in a place to be able to have any kind of relationship at all. But, you know, to the degree that I can be around other people, and you know, maybe it's challenging for me, maybe I have a hard time letting people in, but that healing, that trauma is all about that process of learning how to be in a healthy interactions with somebody. So, you know, what you're describing is kind of typical of the response of somebody who's a counselor who's been trained in individual counseling but doesn't have a marriage and family background. In marriage and family counseling, it's not just about marriage and family. Marriage and family counseling is an approach to counseling in general that says the person is part of a system. The person is part of a relational system, right? It's to be in relationship with others. And so part of that healing process is learning how to tolerate being in a healthy relationship and learning how to build a healthy relationship and participate in that healthy relationship. And that is what helps to heal the trauma, right? So it's possible. I don't want to second guess your husband's counselor, but it's possible that he needs some tools to learn how to self-regulate a little bit better before he could be in a relationship. But I've also seen many, many times where somebody who has been traumatized kind of uses what you're saying as an excuse to never be in a relationship. And based on the fact that this has been going on for 20 years, I'm thinking that that's kind of where your husband's at, and it might be important to kind of push him on this. Not just because of the relationship, but because this is an important part of his recovery, learning how that it's safe to be with you, that it's safe to build a healthy relationship with somebody, that it's safe to be vulnerable, because he's kind of using counseling as a way of saying, well, I'm working on my stuff without really working on his stuff.
Thanks so much for that question, Kay. Hope that was helpful to you. I think we do have time for one more question pretty quickly. So Teresa, listening in Vancouver, Washington, you are on the air, Teresa. As I just said, we're close to the end of the show. So if you could get your question quickly, then Dr. Greg will be able to get you a good answer. So go ahead.
Okay. Hi. I've been married over 30 years, and I have a son, and the different aspects of what have been spoken about were not included in the marriage encounter we had when we were first married. And so how mm-hmm. Is there a book or something to facilitate youth learning what a marriage is and how to navigate mm-hmm. it?
Yeah. So we have, so I actually two resources, the book we've been talking about, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, really looks at what Catholic marriage is all about and what we as Catholics have a right to expect of each other in marriage. We also have a book for newlyweds called Just Married, The Catholic Guide to Surviving and Thriving in the First 5 Years of Marriage, which really talks about the developmental stages that the marriage goes through in the first 5 years and how to negotiate those challenges in the early days.
Great job, Dr. Greg. Nicely done. Thank you so much for that call, Teresa, and thank you to everyone who called in today. Dr. Gregory Popchak, anything else that you would like to plug to remind the listeners of where they can find your work?
I just want to encourage people to know that the marriage is possible, even in today's world, and if you need more support, you can get resources at CatholicCounselors.com, including learning more about our pastoral telecounseling practice.
You heard it here, CatholicCounselors.com. Thank you so much for the great hour today, Dr. Greg.
Thank you, Thomas.
And thank you all for hanging tough with me. Always a fun time when I come in and fill in with PsyCal. And lucky for you, I'm going to do it again tomorrow with Carla Broussard talking about the whys of Catholic belief for 2 hours. So I will see you right back here then, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.